At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What was the thing that you had to do for the show that made you almost quit, but you did it anyway? We had to gather so much cow poop, and we just had a giant vat.
I thought you were going to say when you had to collect feces from Adam.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. I think I was blocking that. Oh.
I would have quit.
Who are the Misfits? Carrie Byron. Tori Belleci. Together, more than 20 years, having fun together.
It fits. Welcome back. It's another Monday, a beautiful Monday. Carrie, how are you?
I think this is going to be a really good episode because this is our mailbag special and we got questions from everybody out there on Instagram and YouTube and the MythFit site. So I'm excited for this one. This is very fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like AMA. We used to do a lot of AMAs on Reddit back in the day, especially when a new season was coming out. But this is cooler because instead of just writing out the answer, we can actually dig in deeper into the questions and kind of flesh out the what actually happened on the day of the episode.
Tori, I was looking at your Instagram feed this weekend.
Oh my God, okay, dude, this weekend.
What happened? I saw you cosplaying as a monkey? Are you at a furry convention? What was happening there?
It was Deadmau5's annual like housewarming party, Hold My Beer. And so this year's theme was safari. It was, oh my God, it was one of the most fun, like just insane. Connor Daly was there.
No way.
Who else was there? Tom Green. Joel is friends with Tom Green. That was like, I was so starstruck. I'm like, dude, it's Tom Green. He's like, do you want to meet him? I'm like, yeah. This party is just so off the hook. At the end of the night, we always light off fireworks. Usually this party happens closer to the fall. And so it's usually a lot wetter. This year they did it in the end of July. And so they're like, no fireworks because we don't want to set off any, you know, we don't want to burn anything, obviously. And then at the last minute when I got there, I was like, so do we got fireworks this year? And his assistant's like, no fireworks. And then Joel caught wind of it and he was like, we should get some, huh? And I was like, yeah, we should. And so this guy brought these mortars. He brought like, you know, just the regular kind where you light and they just like shooting off one at a time. But then he had the ones where you drop in the tube and light the long fuse.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. These things were awesome.
Were you worried about setting off fireworks wearing a monkey suit? It's very flammable.
I think at that point in the party, I had changed out. Everyone's like, dude, you're so like, cause it was a hot day. And I was like, there's no way you're going to last in that costume. Like you're going to melt. You know, we'll see how long. And I was so committed. I went until like late into the night. And as soon as, you know, we were ready to do the fireworks, then I took off the suit because that would have been bad.
Oh my God. It sounds like fun.
I was trying to figure out,
I'm like, what is happening with this Instagram? Like, I'm not used to seeing you roll around in a costume unless it's Halloween and it's generally zombie themed. I was just like, I kept showing my daughter. I'm like, what do you think Tori's doing right now?
It was so crazy, dude. It was so crazy. What did you do?
Yeah, we were up in Tahoe and we were spending some time on the lake and just having some chill family time, her family, my family. I learned that because I'm not sporty and nobody showed me how to row, I've been doing it wrong my entire life. So I'm out with a canoe and I'm just like muscling this oar And, you know, I got a lesson. They're like, no, 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 no. You're supposed to use your abs. You're not supposed to just like force everything with your arms. Cause I was torched by the end of the day. Now I know better. Now I know better. But I'm, my arms were so, so tired. It was so much fun. It's sunny. It's beautiful. It's a lake. It's family. You know, there was
that
no
sounds fire. Awesome.
No fireworks, but lots of fun.
God, when you said, did you change out of your monkey suit before you did the fireworks? That reminds me of this party I was at years ago where this guy was in a onesie and he, you know, those furry, like, you know,
yeah,
like a chipmunk onesie or whatever. And he was flame ball juggling. So basically it was like these balls that of cotton with weight inside of it. They would dip it in gasoline, light it on fire, and he would like swing it around and like do this dance, right?
Yeah.
It's very Burning Man, but he doesn't usually do it. He's never done it in a onesie. And so he's rolling it around and it hits him and his whole suit catches on fire.
Yeah,
and we're like
fast fashion, cheap plastic suits. That's
yes, funny. It's all polyester. And we're just like sitting there going, dude, you're on fire. And he thought we were like getting all excited at his skills. And we're like, no, dude, look down. You're on fire. And so he started running. And all I remember is this one guy going, roll, motherfucker, roll. Stop running. Get on the ground. Roll, motherfucker. God. We almost had to call 911, evacuate, helicopter evacuation.
Wild times. Wild,
yeah.
Something like disc golf and sitting in a canoe. You guys are psyched.
Hey, that's fun.
TV on fire.
Did you go down on it? Like, did you put a ice chest in your inner tube when you went down the Truckee River?
No, we didn't end up floating. It was way too crowded, so crowded. So we just kind of shifted and we found a little like lake where you had to four wheel for a while to get to this lake. So there was not a lot of people there. And
that's cool.
Yeah. It was a long, dusty, like one of these kind of rides where you're just like, by the time you get there, you're all bounced out. And it was like, once we got there, it was just, like this beautiful crystal lake. And my niece, she's like, take a picture of me. And I'm like, okay, what is she going to do? And she did this hair flip where the water goes up over her head. And she's like, it's just like grandma. And I pulled up this picture of my mom from the 70s where she did that. She was a model and she did some modeling on like print ads. And she had done a hair flip where the water was flying behind her. And it's like side by side. It's so cute to see because it's the exact same photo, but you know, years later. It was really, really cool.
You remember we were going to test the myth that there are bodies buried at the bottom of the Lake Tahoe Lake because they said during the mobsters would put people they wanted to get rid of in concrete shoes and dump them in the lake because the lake is so deep. And so there was a moment where we were talking about building a submarine at the shop. And we're like, dude, there's no way we're going to be able to build a submarine that would withstand that water pressure. It'll be suicide. But then years later, remember we did that show called Weird Trips?
Strange Trips.
Strange Trips. Strange Trips.
Yeah, it was America Declassified and then it switched to Strange Trips after that.
And so I went up to Tahoe with a inventor who builds two-man submarines. And they're like $2 million. I'm like, who buys these? He's like, Russian billionaires. I was like, why are they Russian? He's like, those are my best customers. So basically it's a two-seater. It looks almost like a jet, but it goes underwater. And we went to the bottom, not the bottom of Lake Tahoe, because he was like, they weren't sure if this would withstand that much water pressure. But we did get to the shelf of Lake Tahoe before it drops way down. And then it just went black, like into the abyss. It was so crazy. But we never saw any dead bodies at the bottom, at least as far as we could see.
I guess we got to do a revisit into Tahoe, Tori. Let's go.
Yeah. Isn't there a lot of Bigfoot folklore up in Tahoe?
Well, then let's just bring Les Stroud with us. We can make a big old party.
That would be fun. A remote a remote podcast in the forest looking for Bigfoot.
I'd do it. I'd do it.
I mean, think that would do. I think that would be pretty cool. Go hunting with him.
Yeah, but all the survival stuff would be fun. We're never going to find Bigfoot because I think the closest thing is you in a monkey suit, really.
Hey, I got big feet. You know what that means?
Big shoes.
Big shoes.
Big shoes. All right, this is the mailbag special. I guess we should start getting into some of those questions, yeah?
Yes, yes. All let's right. do it.
Let's see what we get. It's the end of summer. We're going to have to finish off with all these tank tops. And I have so many really cute little Quince tank tops that I've been wearing all summer long. I'm going to have to put those away. It's about to be sweater weather.
I am ready to like purge our closets. I would love to just purge everything and start fresh because I love Quince. Everything I've gotten from them so far, I overwear it.
My favorite is the washable silk tank tops. I put those under everything because they just feel so soft.
My favorite is their sweaters. Their sweaters just, they're like, they fit right, they feel right, and they look good. And the best part is you're not going to break your bank buying the clothes because they're so affordable.
I like the fact that they have sourced from ethical factories. I like knowing that my clothes have come from a place where I can trust.
Upgrade your everyday. Download the Quince app for our app exclusive offers or go to quince.com/mythfits.
Wait, they have app exclusive offers? I'm going to have to get the app.
Yeah, you are.
You can also get free shipping with your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada and the UK, too.
That's quince.com/mythfits.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
All right, MythFits, are you guys ready for some questions?
This one's from Old Beekeeper. Wonder what he does for a living. What crazy skills did you learn on the show that ended up improving your life? Adam and Jamie have talked about how all the stunt driving lessons have actually made their casual driving better. I agree with that, actually. I mean, do you remember when we got to do that stunt driving out at the Alameda runway where they were talking about a J-turn and stuff? I feel so much more confident with if your car goes out of control, like now I know what to do.
Or pit maneuvers. Remember they taught us how to do the pit maneuver? That was fun. So if you want to just like take somebody off the road, put them out of commission, we know how to do that now.
Huh? Or even just stopping distances. Like in your head, I've seen your Instagram posts that are like, hey, if you're going 60 miles an hour, here's how long it's going to take to stop your car. But when you're actually doing it, it makes you realize, oh, I should leave a lot more room between the car in front of me and where I'm driving, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like we would push the limits of whether it was driving, steering a boat. Like we would push the limits on vehicles so far in a kind of a safe environment where we wouldn't crash into stuff that it helped us see, oh, okay, this is how far I can push this car before I lose control.
Props to you as well. I feel like I learned a lot about building and sort of building hacks and carpentry and ways of doing things from you, from Jamie as well. But like, you had all sorts of tips and tricks from being a prop builder for so many years that like, I would be trying to do something. You're like, no, let me show you how to do that faster and easier. And I've definitely taken that into home improvement or whatever that's actually helped me. Like you are a wealth of knowledge when it comes to carpentry.
Hey, glad to help.
Yeah.
It's that famous line, fake it till you make it, right? I used to do that all the time. It was just like, yeah, I know how to weld. And then you just learn on the job until you actually learn, actually could weld.
I believe you. What is a life skill that you picked up?
I'm thinking back to the time it was when we were putting out fires with the ski boat.
Yeah.
And I'd driven boats growing up. My grandfather, he was a commercial fisherman. So I was very familiar with driving boats and then also going like water skiing or wakeboarding. But I had never pushed a boat. And this was not just a regular boat. It was a jet powered boat. So it was almost like a jet ski, but, you know, like a 4-seater jet ski. And that was kind of like a day where it was like pushing that boat to the limit where I was like, oh my gosh, like this has improved my boating skills so much. And now I can put out a fire.
Yeah. You can J turn a boat straight to splash up onto
throw that tail out there.
Yeah. I feel like I also, I improved my drinking skills because of all of the myths we did around alcohol. That's where I learned, that I have an intolerance to beer. If I add beer into any situation, because we did, you know, so many myths around it that like later I did my own research. If I add a beer into any moment of my night, I will have a hangover. So.
Oh, interesting.
And I felt like the beer. I love it. It's so sad.
I don't think it, for me, it was less the myths. It was more the Australians that were working on the show because it was like, it would be like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and then they would just all break out beers and start drinking every night. Yeah. And that's kind of what built my tolerance, I think. So I want to thank the Australian crew for that.
Right, right. All right, I got another one from Ken F, or maybe it's Kinf. I was watching the Head in the Freezer episode and Carrie got covered in goop. What crazy things did you get asked to do and what did you refuse to do?
Head in the Freezer. Was that the Jason Friday the 13th movie?
Uh-huh.
Jason X? Yes. Yeah. So in the movie, Jason grabs somebody's face, dips it in liquid nitrogen until the face is frozen, pulls the head out of the vat of liquid nitrogen, and then hits it on a steel table and the face shatters. And so we're like, huh, would that actually happen?
So what I remember from this era is one, you did a face silicone mold of my face so that we could actually crush a face with a, you know, just a big smasher. Like, but I was at the time, it was somewhere around March, the end of March, and I was really pregnant. Like I ended up having a baby in June. So like I was giant and I was carving. We wanted to try it with a pig head first. So I was in an ice carving place with a chainsaw trying to, you know, create a pig head out of ice, which was so fun. It turns out I love carving ice. There's a life skill that I learned from the show, but like,
who knew? You're an ice carver.
The vibrations, I remember I'd feel the baby kick, like every time I turned the chainsaw on, because she'd be like, what are you doing out there? Noisy. what are you doing? But then we had to kind of reenact the scene. So I had a lab coat and a blonde, horrible wig. And then we had Matt Cordova dressed as Jason, and he was supposed to grab my head and then smash it into the table. And I just like smacked my hand on the table at the same time. So it made a noise. And then I came up and made a funny face. But in the end, the editors were like, this looks so bad. We're taking this crazy, like super pregnant lady and just like, no, we cannot use this in the episode. This is terrible. They're like, we're going to minimize this because we did that stunt over and over and over to try to get it right. But it just, yeah, a little too much violence with the pregnant lady. Not going to happen.
Could you tell you were pregnant? I don't even, didn't you have like a big old lab coat on?
Yeah, but the lab coat's like out here. It's impossible not to see that I'm pregnant. Actually, I've got
that's a bad look. That's a bad look for Mythbusters.
I'll throw a couple pictures up for this podcast so you can see how pregnant I actually look. And that was, yeah, so March, it was the end of March. Yeah, I was about like, you know, a month and a half from having that baby. It was crazy.
That's funny. I think the only thing I ever said no to was the RFID chip in my arm. Everything else, I was like, jump into the crocodile pit and get him to chase you? Sure. Get in the ring with the bull? Why not? That sounds fun. But the RFID chip, I was like, nah, that just doesn't sit well with me. And you did it.
I did it. I think if I saw, you know, ahead of time really registered how big the needle was going to be and how deep it would go into my arm, I probably would have said no. But you did all the crazy stunts. I almost felt like I got to do this. Like if Tori's going to say no, I'm going to do it. Like, and it was in my arm.
Well, they were like a decade. I remember they were like, what? You're not going to do this? Like, this seems so simple. And I was like, nah, just not going to do it.
Buried alive? Yes. RFID in the arm? Nah.
No, thank you.
I got it taken out of my arm and I had it in a little envelope for many years, just sort of, and I was going through cleaning out stuff and I was just like, I'm going to just throw this on eBay, see if anybody wants it. Somebody bid on it and like bought it. So, I mean, they might be able to use my DNA and clone me from it because it's definitely
weird. Yeah, I've seen you send a lot of stuff on eBay. Your shoes. What else?
One man's trash, another man's treasure. So why not?
All right. Next question comes from Bookshop Girl 02. Is there a myth that Jamie and Adam got assigned that you wished you guys got to tackle instead or vice versa?
Let's see. What are the ones I'm going through them in my head? Were there any that you can think of right away?
I mean, the one I've talked about this before, it was from a movie. There was this guy, he's got captured by the bad guys, and it's these two big, heavy set bodyguards on either side of him. And they're in a car, they get sideswiped. And because he's in between these two big guys, he survives the crash. And so I saw this in a movie, brought it to the producers. They were like, oh, this is great. Jamie and Adam saw it and go, thanks, man, we're going to take it. And I'm like, boy, I found it. I thought we would know. Okay. So that one.
They got to go to zero gravity. I always wanted to do that thing where you're floating. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. There was one though that I'm glad they got because I was kind of like, how in the heck are we going to build this? It was going to be crossbow machine gun crossbow. So basically it was this old medieval weapon that could fire multiple arrows like, you know, a Gatling gun. But it was just a crossbow. And the thought of building that was just breaking my brain. And I was like, when they took it over, I was like, oof. Because I was like, I would not know where to start.
There are a couple just that I would like to know if I could do. Like the duct tape tightrope where Jamie was walking on a tightrope across that giant I think it was over at
the dry dock.
I want to know if the heights would have got me, if I was going to, like, I would love to just try that one.
Do you remember how scared Jamie was going over that, like he had like a really bad fear of heights or something, but he was like shaking as he was trying to go across that. Do you remember?
Yeah, I mean, you're high up off the ground. That's why I want, just for my secret agent skills, want to know if I could do it. Like that was a crazy one because at any moment it could break. You could just.
Yeah. And he was harnessed, but I had just never seen him have that kind of a visceral reaction to a situation. Like he was always very even keel, didn't get excited, but seeing him just kind of like, his body, he couldn't control it. It was like, whoa, this is wild to watch.
Is Jamie afraid of heights? I don't remember that. Is he?
I just remember that. I mean, if my memory serves me correctly, and lately it hasn't been, but I just remember him going across, but he was just like shaking. I don't know.
If I could put on my analyzed Jamie hat, I would say Jamie trusts himself in what he's building, so he wouldn't be scared if he was creating a Gatling gun or and anything that would be a weapon or a car or say, like, he trusts his building skills, But like duct tape, you have to put your trust in the fact that duct tape is going to hold up, and put your trust in the rigging, like the stuff that kind of you have less control over. I think that would probably lend to it. But I don't know. I know you're afraid of heights.
Yeah.
Totally. Would you have done it if they were like, come on?
I mean, I would have done it, but I wouldn't have wanted to do it.
But you would have done it.
Yeah. God, there was one that we were doing my hands are getting sweaty right now. It was just, they were like, we got to get Tori scared. Let's have him go climb up the supports of the Bay Bridge. And, you know, you're hooked in and you have cables to walk up. But just that, the thought of climbing up the bridge, that's why I don't get these, you know, these urban explorer types that they just climb up there without ropes, without harnesses, free climb, and then just sit on the edge of the Golden Gate Bridge and like take pictures of their shoes or videos of their feet hanging off the edge. I'm like, I don't get it. It's ugh. It makes me, ugh.
I'm guessing you didn't watch any of that Free Solo kind of stuff.
No, I won't.
Yeah.
It's going to upset me. Yeah. Be disturbing.
Ugh. You got to have a bit of crazy to be able to pull that off.
Yeah, totally.
I'm one of those people that's redecorating my house constantly, but the thing lately that has totally transformed my room is I got a new rug. Tumble is one of our sponsors, and I was so stoked when they're like, we're going to send you a rug. It's washable. It's this giant, like, beautiful blue rug that just the entire room just kind of lit up. It looks so pretty.
That's what I love about washable rugs. I have a Chihuahua. He has accidents from time to time. And it's just like trying to get stains out of a regular rug. It's a pain in the butt because you can't just shove it in the washing machine. With these, it's brilliant. You throw it in, wash it, it's clean, let it dry, and then you lay it back down.
Tumble also has this like non-slip cushion pad underneath it. So when you're walking on it, it's really like luxurious when you walk barefoot because it's got like a squish to it.
The great part is they are Okotex approved, which basically means that your kids and your animals are safe to play on.
Machine washable rugs made better. For a limited time only, our listeners get 10% off and free shipping at tumbleliving.com/mythfits. That's tumbleliving.com/mythfits.
And after you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about it. So please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
All right, here's another one from Reddit. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but Dusty Scroll?
Or Dusty Schroll?
All right. Anyway, what was the thing that you had to do for the show that made you almost quit, but you did it anyway?
What?
I mean, we've definitely done a lot of things for the show that were just like, ugh. Do you remember when we were doing the Young Scientist Challenge?
Yeah.
And it was my birthday. And we were trying to make a circular, a closed system for powering a lawnmower by using the methane from cow poop that we gathered
from
eating the grass. Yeah. And we had to gather so much cow poop, and we just had a giant vat, and we were in way over time. Like, everybody was like ready to go home. It was dark.
And wasn't it raining too, which makes it even more muddy and disgusting?
And it was just like, it was hot, and we brought all this poop back to the shop, and I'm just like stirring a giant vat of poop. And I'm like, what? Yeah. Why is this my job? This is,
oh my God.
Disgusting. It was for a very special episode. I don't even think it's in the reruns, but that was definitely one of those days where I'm just like, I'm not feeling this. There's no myth. Well, what are we doing? What are we doing here? I mean, it was cool. It was cool, but like the poop part was not enjoying that. I was not enjoying that.
I thought you were going to say when you had to collect feces from Adam. Didn't you have to do that?
Oh God, I forgot about that. I think I was blocking that.
I would have quit. Man. I would have definitely been like, I draw the line. Find somebody else. That's not me. That's not my. It's not in my job description.
Definitely at the bottom of the food chain back then that I had to like grab some of Adam's poop and bring it to get analyzed, like in a bag. And it was a little watery. Like, I don't know what he was eating the day before. Maybe he had a touch of the food poisoning, but it was really
more fiber. More fiber.
Really awful. Yeah.
Yeah, that would. There's never anything that I was asked to do that made me want to quit. It was more like people. Like there was, you know, certain directors that were just like so cruel that it was like, oh my God, like I don't know if I can deal with this for a long time. But then I was like, you know what? You're going to have to fire me. I am not quitting.
You and I had that same attitude because I've people ask me, you know, people who are, they have a lot more HR and there's a lot more rules and norms in the workplace that we just didn't have back then where, you know, I some of my Gen Z friends are like, why did you put up with that? I'm like, I don't know. It was like a Stockholm syndrome.
Because we were broke and we needed the money.
But we could have gotten jobs doing other things that would have paid us better. I mean, I don't think people realize it, but if you were, you know, in advertising and just making graphics, you would have made more money than we did on Mythbusters. We just like...
Okay, you guys wanted to be famous.
But we still did it. Nothing made us quit. Oh, my God. Okay, this one is from YouTube. It's at... Erham, you guys wore a lot of fun costumes during the show. Which were your favorites and were there any that sucked? Tori, you love costumes. You dressed like a monkey this weekend. What costume did you like?
I did dress like a monkey and I was happy to do it. Let's see. The ones that I love, I remember my favorite was when Superman goes into a phone booth and quickly changes into his Superman outfit. We all came up with our own stupid superheroes and our costumes. And then we tested how long it would take to go into a phone booth, undress, and then dress into your uniform before you fly out or whatever. And so that was a fun experiment. I enjoyed that costume quite a bit.
When we were doing the Kung Fu myths, I thought that was fun when we got all dressed up. It was wild. Or when you were wearing a knight costume. Do you remember you're wearing a suit of armor?
I
think that was when we were doing the paper armor and you were wearing a suit of armor for
yes.
Oh, was that? That might have been
the paper armor. The paper armor sucked.
It was the idea that you could fold paper up and make it as strong as armor and that it would repel like knives and arrows. And it was something that they actually used as folding paper. It was a cool myth.
I don't remember if it was a Korean suit of armor. I think it was or Chinese, but it was like this ancient suit of armor, folded paper, and just scalloped like scales on a fish. And that was supposed to be enough to withstand sword strikes, arrows, like you were saying.
We're pretty good up until we got to bullets, right? I mean, we're pretty good.
Yeah, it definitely stopped some of it. The thing that I hated the most, though, is we wanted to see how feasible it was to move around and fight in. And so they had me wear it and go through the obstacle course at the Alameda Sheriff's training facility.
Wasn't
and
there it was like a moment 90 degrees that day too. It was so hot.
It was so hot. But the worst part was I had to climb across a rope that was hanging. It was from attached to two poles to scale across a body of water. So I was like upside down. My legs were crossed over the rope and I was like pulling myself to try to get over to the other side. And I just, it was so heavy. I got tired. So I fell into the water and then that paper just like soaked up all the water and it just became, it weighed a ton.
Oh man, we had some good costumes. I liked the pirate costumes.
Yeah, those are fun.
I loved how into it Grant would get. He would show up in a Doctor Who costume for no reason. He had the best costumes. I imagine he had a whole closet that was just costumes. Like he had Star Wars costumes he would show up in for our Star Wars myths. It was fun. That was a good time.
Yeah, he came as Han Solo that one time.
I would say a costume that I didn't really enjoy is when I remember we were trying to test the Tin Man myth and they were going to paint me in silver. And they're like, you're going to wear a bikini. And I'm like, you're not paying me enough to wear a bikini on TV and rerun. So I tried to wear like a halter top and shorts, but still the whole thing was just like, the painting of all of it. It was just sticky and weird and cold. And I did not enjoy that one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was uncomfortable.
So the ridiculous things we used to do. Okay, next question. This one comes from Ross Maniac from Reddit. When did you guys realize just how iconic the show and in particular the Build team had become? My younger son and I binged the show 3 times completely through the thanks of DVDs since he was 6. He's now 19. And he got to the point that between sequence binges, he would ask for the shows, not by the title, but by what the Build team did.
Aww.
And if you're ever near Asheville, North Carolina, he would just fall over backwards to get to meet you. Aww, that's so sweet. Cute.
I do love Asheville. That's a pretty awesome place. So maybe we'll get there someday. I don't know. I guess.
I do.
When? When did you feel like we were iconic? I don't know.
Well, not iconic, but at least liked. Because for so long, we would just read the Mythbusters fan page and they're like, we hate the Build team. They're little brats. Like, we just want Jamie and Adam. And when we went to Dragon Con, this was maybe like through season 3. And I was just so nervous because it was like, they hate us. And you, Grant, and I walked out on stage and we were getting cheers. And it was like, whoa, they don't hate us. Like that was like a eye opening moment.
I mean, I guess there was a certain era where I remember getting a lot of pictures of kids that were dressing like us for Halloween, which mm-hmm. I thought was adorable. So I guess that's when you kind of get outside because, you know, we would be in the shop. It just felt like we were making our own home movie. But then every now and then you kind of got that infiltration of like, oh, wow, people out in the world are watching it. Like kids are watching it and dressing like us for Halloween. Yeah. That's kind of cool. I do think that a lot of the current state of social media, there's so much clipping that happens from the show that like it's kind of, I don't know, revived the brand and that it keeps it alive through all the different ways people are interacting with the old content and bringing it back. Like there's a whole meme about, I've been walking in the rain because I saw that one Mythbusters episode, you know, like stuff that keeps coming back. I think that's pretty cool. We were very lucky to be part of a time that was
totally,
it was really different. It was new.
Well, like we remember that, that sub imploded, that personal submarine imploded. And for weeks after that happened, that clip where we put the deep sea diver helmet in the ocean and it imploded, that was going viral because people were like, what's an implosion? What's an implosion? And they're like, this is what an implosion looks like. And it's basically, you know, all the pressure from the water just completely squeezing and crushing the vessel.
Or during COVID when they did that our sneeze video.
Oh, that was everywhere.
Everywhere. Like how far can a sneeze
go?
Yeah, it was everywhere.
It's like how not to catch a cold. Watch Mythbusters. Watch this episode. You did really well on that episode. You were like, everybody was like covered in that glowing die after the test was over. But you were like, you would pick stuff up with your napkin. You were very good, very germ phobic.
I mean, was it germ phobic or was I watching Adam rub his nose with his hand throughout the entire experiment? And I was like, ew, I'm not.
Okay. Adam juices phobic.
Yeah, he did a really good job with that one, like spreading his fake snot onto everything. Like, I was a little horrified because he's sniffing and touching his hand. And I'm just like, oh, God, no.
He would have, like, if you were at that dinner party, you would have just been like, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm good. I'm not that hungry. I'll get some turkey somewhere else.
I'm on a diet right now. I can't eat any of that, but, you know.
Okay. This next one comes from @JessW3689 from YouTube. How linear was filming? For example, did you record the intro to a myth before testing, or did you record the intro and the conclusion to the myth at the same time after all the testing was finished? When you were at the bomb range and something didn't go right, you said, we're going to go back to the shop and work this problem out. Did you really go back and problem solve and go out to the bomb range again another day? Or had you anticipated it and brought all that you needed the first day so that you didn't need to take another trip?
I mean, I think it changed a lot depending on our schedule as far as linear, because sometimes it was just like the availability of something like the bomb range and we'd have to do it that day. And, you know, we'd film all the blueprint, like introduction and stuff generally afterwards, because it helps put the story together and glue the story. But I mean, we were pretty honest with the science of it or the happening of it. So we actually, since the bomb range was drivable, it wasn't that bad. We'd go back to the shop and figure it out. Figuring it out there on the spot generally wasn't feasible. Like if something went horribly wrong, we did have to go figure it out.
Yeah. There was episodes where the experiment was so crucial to getting it right and we just ran out of time. And whatever system we were using to try to get the timing correct wasn't working. So we would have to actually go back to the shop and reconfigure, try to figure it out. Because being out on location, you don't have all the materials. You don't have all the tools. You don't have everything you need to fix the problem. Sometimes we would be able to fix the problems on site. But I feel like 90% of the time, if you saw us having to go back to the shop, is because we couldn't get it to work on that one day.
I mean, generally it was pretty linear because we didn't know how to go to the next step without it. The only thing is the blueprint room. Like the blueprint room was mostly just filmed all at once. But it took about 8 days to get through a myth and we wouldn't know how it was going to end.
Unless it was a myth where you needed something to grow. Like that, those would take months. So like a rolling rock gathers no moss. Ugh. We set that up and we had it running for like 3 months. So the setup, it was linear, but it was linear over 6 months. I mean, or 3 months. It was like we started it and then we would check in about a month in. Then we would check in again to see if this rolling mechanism with the rock and the moisture had any moss grown on it.
Yeah, that experiment actually left me with a scar right down my hand from the dirty, dirty wire that cut into me and I just didn't take care of it well. So I had like a white scar here. And then when somebody was practicing tattooing, I let them make it into a dagger. So now I have an invisible white dagger right where the scar is. You can only see if I get sunburned.
Hey, that's clever, hiding your scars with tattoos.
Dagger scar. Right
there. So tell me this, how do you hide your emotional scars, Carrie?
Do I hide those, Tori? Do I hide those or do they?
Not well. Podcast. Not well.
Yeah. No, not really.
Just kidding. The other one that took forever, it was linear, but it took forever, was the heavy metal music, playing music to your plants. We like set up the green houses. We grew the plants. They had to grow and then we tested. So it was whenever something has to grow, it takes a long time for that myth to be filmed.
Now, you hear about women's health and science and hormones all the time, but I think there's one thing that we aren't talking about enough, And that's that men also need a little bit of help. All my guy friends are constantly talking about how as they get older, they're feeling a little more tired. It's a little harder to recover from workouts, or maybe their focus isn't as sharp. And we all know this is a natural consequence of getting older, but luckily there's a lot of science to help. Mars Men is a supporter of this podcast, and it's a supplement designed to free up bound testosterone, allowing your body to use what's already being produced. I personally, in my life, always try to support natural health as much as possible, and I do love that Mars Men says it supports healthy T levels, energy, and stamina with ingredients like vitamin D and zinc. It's made in the U.S. and third-party tested, which is something I always look for in a bottle because it means transparency and high-quality ingredients that are a priority for this brand. For a limited time, our listeners get 50% off for life, plus free shipping and 3 free gifts at mengotomars.com. That's mengotomars.com for 50% off and 3 free gifts when you check out. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them The Mythfits sent ya.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind. But not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
All right, I've got a question from Aki9887 from YouTube. I grew up watching Mythbusters as a kid. Thanks for making my childhood special. Aw. From a YouTube comment of Mythbusters, I came to know about your podcast. It feels really great to see you guys. Missing Grant, though. My question is, which is your favorite Mythbuster episode? We miss Grant as well. Yeah, he would be, he should be here with us doing this. He would have.
I know, that would be a trip.
And he had a better memory than both of us. I feel like he would have remembered the minutiae in a way that you and I, wait, what happened?
I don't know, though. He used to have a notebook that he was like, yeah, when I'm done with Mythbusters, you know, he would draw these sketches on whatever he was building and then the calculations. And he's all, when the show's done, I'm going to publish this book. But then, like, he went back through it and, like, he got so much stuff wrong that he was like, I'm not going to publish this book. I wasn't as right as I thought I was. So, I don't know. That would be funny. It'd be cool to have him on, though.
I wish we kept all of our call sheets that explained everything that we were doing. Like, if it's, you just don't know in the moment that you're supposed to keep these things. And it just seemed like trash at the time. I wish I had every single one of those call sheets. And on the backs of them, I do have something. I can't tell if it's a sketch that you did or Grant did that was a motorcycle rig. And it was like explaining the angles of how we were supposed to pull the motorcycle. And it was so cool to kind of like come across that and just some random paperwork.
Oh, that's cool. But it's hard to pick a favorite myth because it was just like they were all so unique. It's like picking your favorite child, right? But for us, that's easy because we only have one child. So I know what my favorite child is.
I mean, I feel like I could more, it'd be easier for me to remember myths that I hated doing. I hated doing pyramid power. I thought that was
stupid. Yeah, there were myths that were not our favorite.
But. Or, you know, like things that we were kind of miserable through. I mean, I loved whenever we did Shark Week stuff. I thought those were really fun and cool. And we were in the Bahamas and it was like a family adventure. I loved whenever we were doing things like, I really did love Duct Tape Airplane when we were doing MacGyver myths.
Yeah.
There was like no consequence to it because you're really recreating something that MacGyver did on a TV show to see if it actually would work. It wasn't like something that really happened. It was something that happened on TV. So it was just fun to see if we could make it happen. I love doing that one.
It's crazy how much this show kind of made an impact on a generation. And now there's like this new generation because you were saying like viral videos where they're clipping Mythbusters, or there's a whole channel on Amazon Prime apparently that has 24 hours Mythbusters. So now you have like this new generation that are growing up. And you know, it's like, we just thought we were creating this fun, ridiculous show, but so many people are like, it really had an impact on them.
I mean, I can remember mostly the myths that I loved weren't necessarily the best myths, but the best times we had. I loved when we were doing Luxury Car Drop, and it was such a hard myth to pull off, and it was such a team effort. And then when it ended, there's this moment that the three of us all ran onto scene, and we just nerded out. We were all hugging each other, yeah. In a circle going, yeah! Yeah. Just like that sort of moment of like, oh my God, we did it. And then the cameras go off and everybody joins and we're all screaming together and jumping around with the cameraman, the producer, the sound. Like, it was just like all of us coming together and pulling something insane off. Those were my very, very, very favorite moments.
Totally, totally. Well, thank you for all these questions, Carrie. This was fun. This is a good one.
Yeah. I mean, let's keep it coming. We'll do another
one. Walking down memory lane with the fans.
Keep sending us those questions. We read YouTube. We read the DMs and Instagram. We read the comments. We're always trying to talk with you guys online. So please leave your comments, like, subscribe, follow, all those kind of things so we can keep this community going.
Yeah. And stay Carrie Byron. Misfits.
Stay weird.
Pioneer.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.